The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The regular season schedule is starting to take shape. Earlier today, we got our first glimpse at the week one games, Bears and Rams on Sunday night, then Ravens and Raiders kicking off Monday night football. But before the weekend slate, the regular season will get underway Thursday as Dallas heads to Tampa Bay to take on the defending champs. Marcus Spears, which week one game are you most looking forward to?
Hell, but you already know. I don't even know why people are asking me this question. It's the Cowboys in Tampa Bay. Obviously, I want to see Dak back and see how healthy he is. He's going to be staring down the other side against Tom Brady. But more importantly, this vaunted Tampa Bay Bucs defense. And then I want to see the revamped defense for the Dallas Cowboys. I got juice today. I got energy. They telling us what game's coming on. That's all we need. For NFL Live, Bucks Cowboys.
Hey, that's good energy. I'm looking forward to Kansas City, Cleveland. Look, it's a revamped Kansas City offensive line. We saw what they looked like with a banged up offensive line in the Super Bowl. And it's a big test against a really talented Cleveland front. I also want to see Baker Mayfield in year two in that Kevin Stefanski offense. Does he take another step forward? I think that he will. And oh, by the way, Odell Beckham Jr., he's healthy. What's his involvement in that offense? How will they use him?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tim, I'm going to stay in the AFC. I like Steelers-Bills in week one. It's a big year for Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills trying to follow up on all the success they had last year. A Super Bowl contender, at least they think so and hope so there in Buffalo. And in Pittsburgh, we don't really know what they have other than Ben Roethlisberger and what else they could fit around him under the salary cap.
True.
A lot of people doubting Pittsburgh and Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger this year. We'll see how they look in week one against a tough AFC opponent.
I like it, Groz. How about Monday Night Football week one? Ravens at Raiders in Vegas. Lamar Jackson with a chance to make a statement week one. All eyes on him on Monday night, especially against that Raiders defense. John Gruden, Derek Carr, and fans in the stands for the first time ever at Allegiant Stadium. Did you see the have that 11,000 square foot club in the end zone, premium DJs, whoa, bottle service,
turtle.
Vegas, baby.
Turtle.
All right, welcome to NFL Live, everybody. We are just turtle. Under 4 hours away until the entire NFL schedule is released. So we already know week one, as you see our countdown to the schedule release there. Of course, that happening right here on ESPN. We'll anticipate the entire schedule coming out in just under 4 hours. You saw Marcus, Tim, and Groz here for you for the next hour. We're counting down to so much. And we're also going to tell you the reason Zach Wilson's week one game and his NFL debut, an extremely tough draw for him. We begin, though, with the reigning Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And boy, what a test the Cowboys are in for week one. Dallas used their first six draft picks on defense and also signed former Falcons safety Keanu Neal after giving up their most points in franchise history. They'll deal with Tom Brady week one, who at 42 years old led the league in 20 air yard completions last season, with 10 of those going for touchdowns. He can air it out when he wants to. Marcus, the Cowboys get the old easy cupcake opener, right, with the Bucks? What do you got on that one?
No chance. This is an easy cupcake, but I'm looking forward to it, Els. It's a great gauge for the Dallas Cowboys, obviously, based on what transpired last year. You lost your starting quarterback. You lost 95% of your offensive line. Zeke Elliott looked worse than he's looked in his entire career. Defensively, they were in shambles. Mike Nolan's scheme didn't work. They get a chance to test it against the reigning Super Bowl champions. More importantly, Dak Prescott is back. How will he look coming off of this injury? Will he answer some questions about mobility? Can he do it? Can he play at the same high level? Got a brand new contract. People are going to expect him to play well in game one. And then on the other side of the football, the reigning Super Bowl champion, Jason Light, did not lie to us. He signed every damn player back. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers plan on going for two, like they say. They don't say run it back. They say going for two. So when you look at this situation, especially in week one, great gauge for the Dallas Cowboys. Can the Tampa Bay Buccaneers pick up where they left off when they got that offense clicking and that defense was playing better than anybody in the National Football League? I'm excited about this one for obvious reasons, but also the fact that we got a great matchup with two teams that could be vying for an opportunity to get in the playoffs in the NFC later on this season. So it's an impact game as well.
Yeah, Dak Prescott, you mentioned. I mean, this is a big spotlight on him all through the summer. We've heard nothing but good things about his recovery from that significant injury he suffered last year. But we'll see as the summer progresses. The Cowboys expect him to be ready week one. We'll find out how ready right away, because the last time we saw that Tampa Bay Bucs defense, it was terrorizing Patrick Mahomes with the pass rush. The Cowboys offensive line starting to show a little bit of a crack here and there the last couple of years. They think Tyron Smith is back to full health after a few years of not being there. But the ability to protect Dak will be a big part of the Cowboys story as well this year.
Yeah, look, I'm not worried about Dak Prescott. I'm not worried about that Cowboys offense. I'm worried about their defense. I think this is a horrible matchup to start off the season for Dallas. I think it's a terrible draw. If this defense is going to be any good, it's not going to be week one. And so I think when you look at that and you're facing a quarterback that has more experience than anybody playing the position in the NFL, and oh, by the way, he's the greatest of all time. Tom Brady is so good pre-snap. Like, if you're lined up incorrectly, he could end up making you pay. That's why I think this is bad for Dallas. There's going to be growing pains with that defense. And so, you know, to get somebody as good as Brady at the line of scrimmage to face them, I think it's just horrible timing. Like, I don't know that we're going to learn that much about him, Marcus. We already know their defense is probably going to struggle and their offense is going to have to carry him. And I just think Brady's going to expose it.
Yeah, Dan Quinn, the new defensive coordinator for the Cowboys, is like, wow, guys, this is how I'm getting to start everything out here. Like, I got the new scheme. I got new players I'm working with. Oh, yeah, let's just go against Tom Brady. All right, so, Groz, we talked about this.
We'll
all 22
out.
Starters back for the Buccaneers. How different you think will this Bucs offense look, though?
Yeah, I think that's an important question, because remember last year, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were putting that offense together on the fly. No offseason, new quarterback, a bunch of new pieces. And now everyone back for a full offseason program, or as much as the players are going to attend. I would look at Antonio Brown as possibly having a bigger role in the Buccaneers offense this year. I know that the relationship between him and Tom Brady is one based on Brady's respect for his unique ability to do things in the passing game. And the fact that he got there halfway through the year last year, again, no real offseason to work through. He was a part of things, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's a bigger part of the Tampa Bay offense this year in terms of how they plan to evolve things around Tom Brady in year two.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's no secret that Tom
My
Brady.
My Lord, that's scary.
Yeah, right. And Tom Brady has tried to make sure Antonio Brown is part of offenses for the last few years. So he obviously thinks highly of him. We already know week one matchups of the 2021 NFL season, the remainder of the schedule coming out tonight right here on ESPN. How about this one, though? Panthers versus Jets week one, meaning Sam Darnold begins his career in Carolina against his old team. And if you're going to be petty, or if you like petty, this game may be for you, because even if they don't say it, we know the air is going to be thick with revenge. Tim, that may be a little bit dramatic, but if you're Darnold, you're facing the team that didn't want you, also didn't do a lot to help you when you were in town. So how do you approach this one?
Well, listen, I actually don't think it's that dramatic, Laura. I think you're actually right with that one. But any player that's ever faced his former team gets excited for it. There is a little bit extra, and when they tell you there's not, they're lying. That's just the reality of how it goes. You always feel that way. With that being said, Sam Darnold can have all the gripes that he wants, but the reality is he wasn't very good last year. Threw 9 touchdowns and 11 picks, won 2 games as a starter. They needed a reset. Sam Darnold needs to be looking at this with a much, you know, wider lens, and that he needs to make his career start trending in the right direction instead of the wrong direction. So there'll be anticipation, there'll be energy, you know, inside him, you know, focused on this game. But at the same time, it's got to be a much bigger scope of vision for him, because this season means quite a bit for the trajectory of his football career.
Okay. So listen, everybody is about the dynamic of the level-headed quarterbacks and down the hall in most facilities, the ruckus D-line room, because I want Petty. I want Sam Darnold to hang 350 on the New York Jets for 4 touchdowns. They booted the man out of there, told him he wasn't good enough, and they knew the situation that he was in. Now he's in a better situation in Carolina with Joe Brady, a team that's built around him. Matt Rhule has expressed that confidence by extending his fifth-year option. They traded for him to go get him. Sam Darnold, I hope, because I would want my quarterback to have this makeup. I hope it's personal. I hope he has a vendetta against the New York Jets. I hope his mindset going into that game is to show them, if you would have surrounded me with the right situation, I could have been this type of player. I agree with Tim. The rest of the season is vitally important. But I don't want no damn level-headed quarterback right now, Tim. I want a petty quarterback. I want a quarterback that's looking at the team that told him he wasn't good enough, and he get him the first week in the season after he was traded and an opportunity to put his foot in they blank blank. Let's go.
Tim was kind of like D-line ruckus
listen,
there, though.
You're right. You got to remember, though, quarterbacks need to stay level-headed. Like, they're not getting ready to run down on kickoff, Marcus. Like, that's the difference. That's why the D-line room needs to be that way, and the quarterback room's got to be totally different.
Yeah, I got to say, I like Petty Tim a lot. So, listen, this week one schedule is so good, you guys. There's going to be so much conversation around this game, and we're going to talk a lot about Sam Darnold, right? But, Graz, there's also the rookie Zach Wilson facing the Jets, facing the Panthers. What is it going to be like for him when he's against a guy who the Jets could have kept and could have been in the same quarterback room with him?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I actually think this is kind of a rough break for Zach Wilson, and maybe this is just because I've lived my whole life in the suburbs of New York City, but I have Jets fans that they're wired to be disappointed. And if Zach Wilson has a lousy game and Sam Darnold has a great one, I mean, the headlines are going to be brutal for the kid. Look, he's not going to be in danger of losing his job or anything, but that'd be a rough way to start. So I think there's a little bit of pressure on him to have a good game right out of the gate, considering he's playing against the team that is quarterbacked by the guy he's replacing. There's no question in my mind the Jets fans will look at it that way if the game does not go in their favor.
Oh, I can just hear Jets fans if all of a sudden – you see Zach Wilson throwing interceptions. By the way, you know, Sam Darnold actually won his debut game but did throw a pick six to start the game. I actually did that game on the sideline, and you could feel the Jets fans even at that point. All right, so we're talking reunion games here. Hard to argue that any reunion game is bigger than the Buccaneers and Patriots as Tom Brady returns to Gillette Stadium after bringing 6 Super Bowls to the New England franchise. Lions and Rams, though, also set to square off, and of course, they swapped quarterbacks, Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff. That was the first time in NFL history number one picks were traded for each other. Another reunion game to keep an eye on week one, Texans and Cardinals facing off against each other. Former Houston first-round picks J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins get their shot at a revenge game. New on NFL Live, by the way, we mentioned the Lions. Lions rookie Penei Sewell tweeted out this. Found out this past weekend I tested positive for COVID-19. Really wish I was heading to my new home today to be able to be at mini camp with my new teammates and coaches. Look forward to getting out to the D as soon as I'm cleared. So Penei Sewell, we wish him the best as he deals with COVID. So maybe Aaron Rodgers starts week one for Green Bay against the Saints. But, man, a lot would have to change before then, wouldn't it? So much intrigue around this game from the Packers side. We'll get into that in a few seconds. But the Saints will officially enter the post-Drew Brees era, too, with Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill. Let's begin with Rodgers as we look at week one matchups here on NFL Live. Tim, will Aaron Rodgers be starting week one for the Packers?
I believe that he will. And, you know, I know there's a lot of talk about him being elsewhere, but I think that that noise had to die down once the draft happened. The time to move him was prior to the draft. Now, when you look at it, some of these spots have filled up. I just don't know where he ends up, and I think he really still wants to play football. So with that being said, yeah, I think he's in Green Bay, and I think he'll go to Green Bay. He'll play at a ridiculously high level like he did a year ago. His teammates will love him. He'll make them better. And I think that he'll be unbearable to some of the other people in the organization, whether it's a coach, people in the front office. Like, I think that's how he will approach it. You'll have salty, angry Aaron Rodgers playing a high level. And Marcus, I would just say, like, if you're in the front office, board the team plane after Aaron so you don't have to walk by him. That would be my
practical
advice.
Yeah.
So basically, Tim is saying that Aaron gonna act like Dan Graziano the whole season.
Yep.
Whoa. Yep. Where'd this come from?
Roz.
This was not.
The delay is so funny.
Roz, I know the delay is amazing because it hits me before it hits everybody else, so I try to keep my face straight. Roz, all right. What do we know, though, about Aaron Rodgers in this situation?
Yeah, I don't know what Marcus Spears' problem is, but I do know, I have some sense of what Aaron Rodgers' problem is with the Packers organization. And, I mean, Tim's point is a good one about, you know, it would have been better to do it before the draft, and maybe there aren't as many destinations for him. But I haven't talked to anybody who really sees a path back for Rodgers to the Packers organization. So I know the Packers are working on a solution that results in him being their quarterback this year. I just don't know how they find it. Contractually, they haven't been able to get anything together that has that has produced it yet. And other than that, other than trading him if he wants to be traded or daring him to stay away if he's willing to stay away, I'm just not sure what the outcome would be. I do like that potential scouting report, though, from Tim. You know, elite accuracy, impossible for some in the building to get along with. Like, that's, I think that's a pretty good rundown of this situation.
Had to throw it in there, didn't he, Marcus?
I don't know what Marcus is talking about. I'm very happy to be here.
Graz, I love you, man, but you're dry humor, and sometimes, you know, you get them little sticks in, so trust me.
Got a funny way of showing it.
All right. Anyway. That was it right there, actually. But I'm look, guys, I don't believe Aaron Rodgers is going to be there. Maybe wishful thinking. It may be something that, you know, for me, I think it's always important that we explain that this process has been going on. I know all of the news broke during the draft and everybody went crazy, but this relationship has been tumultuous with Aaron Rodgers in the front office apparently for a while, based on them having to fly out to the West Coast and try to talk to him and coerce him. I feel so bad for Matt LaFleur every time he talks about this because he can't imagine life without Aaron Rodgers. Well, you might have to, bro, and I think you are. But on the other side of this game as well, like the Saints, like are we forgetting that Drew Brees retired? Like one of the best quarterbacks to ever play this game, and they're trying to figure out who their starting quarterbacks are going to be, whether it's Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston. I believe it's going to be Jameis. That's just my personal opinion. To operate and facilitate the way this offense is going to go with Taysom still serving in a role that devastates defenses when they're trying to figure out what the Saints offense is. So as much as Aaron Rodgers is a big story and his future in Green Bay, when we get to the football part of this and you look at this matchup, the Saints have a lot of questions that they need to answer as well. And the first one is starting with how do they retool and how do they look without the Hall of Fame of the great Drew Brees?
Yeah, I think it's a great point, Marcus, because you think about recent years, you know, you look at the Saints roster and you'd say, look, they may be as good as anybody on both sides of the football. And oh, by the way, look, their quarterback seems to throw for 5,000 yards every single year and a tremendous leader, everything like that. And yes, the Saints have won games when Teddy Bridgewater's had to come in and play five games. They've shown that they have the ability to do that. But you just look at another organization that had to play without their Hall of Fame quarterback. How did it go in year one? Go look at the New England Patriots. Doesn't matter that they replaced Tom Brady with a former MVP. It's a struggle. There's a transition. It's harder. And I think there'll be moments for Taysom Hill. You know, I think they'll have a plan for him. I think Jameis Winston will play well at times. Sean Payton's a good coach, but it's different when it's like, hey, I'm the guy for 16 games and beyond, and the expectations here are really high. Yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head in terms of that transition.
Yeah, speaking of struggles and transitions, guys, we are playing in the TV, remote TV delay Olympics today. And in that last segment, I'm not sure any of us made the podium, but let's continue with the schedule release here. More on week one as we remind you what the rest of the 2021 schedule will be released in a couple hours right here on ESPN, ESPN2. The first Monday Night Football game right here on ESPN features Lamar Jackson and what Greg Roman has said will be a changed offense against the Raiders in Las Vegas. John Gruden back on Monday Night Football. How about that? We'll find out the rest of the Monday Night Football slate at 8 tonight. But Marcus, give me a game you hope to see on Monday night.
Oh my goodness, Cowboys versus the Washington football team. And listen, I've heard a lot of people tell me that the Washington football team is the best team in this division. I know they have the best defense in this division, but I'm not sure if it's clear cut that Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to change the culture in Washington and ascend them to the number one spot in the NFC East. Dallas might have something to say about it. Don't blink. The New York Giants might have something to say about it based on how Daniel Jones played. But this matchup would be wonderful. It's an old rivalry, and it's a division where we're all trying to find out if one of these teams can return to being good.
Listen, give me Bills Chiefs. Look, I understand Marcus likes watching the offensive and defensive line's belly bump, but here's the deal. It's all about quarterbacks, okay? Quarterbacks that will make at least four throws a game where you're like, wait a second, did he really just do that? In terms of ability to make throws that other guys that are really good in the National Football League can't make, there are none better than Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. And so I think a matchup where those guys just going at each other. We may not see very many runs in that one.
I'm going to go with the Bucks and the Bills. Isn't it amazing we keep talking about the Bills? Like, I'm old enough to remember when they couldn't buy their way onto Monday Night Football. Now we want them every week. I think, you know, Josh Allen and the Bills would have been the Buccaneers' Super Bowl opponent. I wonder, I mean, they would have had a healthier offensive line than the Chiefs brought to the table. You wonder if they might have given them a better game. Obviously, Buffalo's got to be thinking along those lines and dreaming those big dreams as we enter this season.
Bills Mafia, where you at? We're trying to put you all on Monday Night Football. 3 hours and 21 minutes and what, 51 seconds and counting? My goodness, we got a good countdown clock here on the show. All right, so there's a look at the week one slate of games, which we already know, so many intriguing matchups. It all starts with Cowboys and Bucks kicking things off on Thursday. Let's go through some of the veteran QBs' debuts with their new teams. Dan, Carson Wentz facing the Seahawks.
Laura, Carson Wentz going to want to put last year behind him as quickly as possible. Could be a tricky first game. I know Frank Reich's going to want to try and run the ball with Jonathan Taylor to keep some pressure off of Wentz, but Seattle was a top five run defense last year, and then they just signed Eric Fisher to play left tackle, the Colts did, but he tore his Achilles in January. Probably a lot to expect him to be back in time for week one. Colts may still be patching it together there early in the season.
How about, Marcus, Ryan Fitzpatrick facing the Chargers?
Okay, everybody has told me, L Boogie, that this is supposed to be the resurrection of the quarterback spot for the Washington football team. And obviously we know about Fitz magic, but we also know about Fitz tragic. So which one is he going to be? Not only in this game, for the majority of the season. If Fitz plays at a very high level, this team is going to be dangerous and they are going to test everyone, even in the playoffs. Yes, I'm calling it because that defense is like that. So I can't wait to see Fitz in his debut with the Washington football team against the Chargers defense.
Tim, Jared Goff against the 49ers week one.
Yeah, and this is an interesting one. Jared Goff was basically traded to have his contract dumped. I mean, this is a guy that was a number one overall pick, taking a team to a Super Bowl. You know, his kind of laid back, you know, personality fit well in LA. Well, now he goes to Detroit, and I think he's going to have to show some grit, kind of rebuild and prove to people that, maybe he is a better people than a better player than they thought with the Rams. Okay, I think it's a big challenge for him. New offense, not as much talent. He's got his work cut out for him.
Yeah, Goff was complimenting his O-line. How about this one? We talk about veteran quarterbacks debuting with their new team. Matthew Stafford, of course, now with Jared Goff's old team with the Rams. I cannot wait to see what this Rams offense looks like as they, of course, play against the Bears week one. This is really fascinating to see Stafford able to air it out. They drafted well for that to happen. And you got to think that Sean McVay is going to be dialing it up. And on the other side, guys, we may see Justin Fields make his debut. Who knows? Speaking of Fields, this rookie quarterback class is fascinating. We don't know how many of these guys will start, right? But four of the five first-round rookie quarterbacks are set to open the season on the road. Mac Jones and the Patriots are the exception, taking on the Dolphins at Gillette Stadium. Of the four first-round quarterbacks last year, only Joe Burrow started week one, while Justin Herbert started in week two, Tua Tagovailoa in week eight, and Jordan Love, of course, spent the season learning, I guess you could say, under Aaron Rodgers. Graz, if you had to rank the likelihood of these rookie quarterbacks, of course, other than Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, who we know will start, who will start in your mind? What's the likelihood for you?
It's tough, Laura. I think Justin Fields of those three is the most likely, just because it seems like the organization's going to have a lot of incentive to get him out there. Then I would put it at Mac Jones in New England and Trey Lance in San Francisco. But Lance is the wild card. I mean, if they, you'll know, because if they do move Jimmy Garoppolo in a trade at some point this summer, then that'll mean the path has been cleared and they've decided Trey Lance is ready to go. So if they don't, then they're comfortable with him. But the same's true in Chicago and New England, where they have players, veteran quarterbacks, they feel they can start if the rookie's not ready.
Yeah, Tim, if you had to pick one of these guys, a Fields, a Lance, or a Jones to start week one, who would it be for you?
Well, I would say Mac Jones, and you know, Justin Fields is a talented guy that I think could handle it. I think Andy Dalton's a hard player to beat out. You know, you can say what you want about his postseason lack of success, but the reality is he does a lot of things right, and I think there'll be a comfort level for Matt Nagy to start the season with Andy Dalton. And so then you look at New England and you say, well, look, Cam Newton does not have a contract that, you know, basically is kind of dictating that he should be the starter. Mac Jones, a top 15 pick that I think will, you know, learn the offense quickly. I think he'll have enough understanding to go in with package plays and have enough control at the line of scrimmage. But I think they'll be comfortable with that in New England. And I think there's a situation where it just doesn't make sense to play Cam Newton, a guy that, you know, threw eight touchdown passes last year, instead of a guy like Mac Jones.
Yeah, Tim, he didn't look good. Like, just call it what it is. Cam Newton did not look good. And obviously, he was coming off a season where he wasn't able to get acclimated. He was a different type of player for Josh McDaniels, the coach. He got COVID during the season. I would expect Cam to be better than he was last year. But I'm with you on Mac Jones as far as being that starter at some point. I don't know by week one, but he may operate this offense in – oh, remember this too, y'all. Just popped in my mind. They are actually going to have an offseason this year. So these guys are going to be able to compete for a number of weeks so these coaches can make decisions. That's something that they didn't have the opportunity to do last year. And we saw guys just thrown into some games and figuring out at last minute who their quarterbacks were going to be, i.e. New England, who we're talking about. But let's pump the brakes a little bit, because we keep talking about all of these teams that are supposed to be good. And, you know, we got our eyes on the Browns, and we're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, and rightfully so, for us to have all of those conversations, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's not forget what New England did this offseason. Let's not forget that Bill Belichick is still their head coach. Let's not forget, for as bad as that team was last year, they won seven games. Now, it looked terrible in winning those seven games, but they did. And now you look what they have. Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry, all of the names that are listed. Remember, they were the team that was stricken with opt-outs last year on the defensive side of the football, too. So I'm with you, Tim. But I do believe Cam is going to play well. Eventually, it'll be Mac Jones. That's why you take him at 15. But the New England Patriots are going to be a hell of a lot better than people think they are going to be, because I just have a firm belief that the way that this franchise and organization is set up and who their head coach is, I think this team will be marketably better based on the moves that they made in the offseason.
Yeah, you could feel that Bill Belichick frustration in the offseason and during free agency as he was trying to grab players left and right. And then in the draft, it's like every Alabama player that he wanted just fell right in his lap. So look at that. He's just puppeteering all of us. A rematch of the AFC divisional round. Remember, Mahomes left the game with a concussion. Chad Henne had to win it for the Chiefs in that game. The Browns felt like it slipped through their fingers a little bit. Now they face off week one, and what an opportunity for both sides. Marcus, it's going to be all about the quarterbacks, right, for some, but what will you be watching in this week one game between the Browns and the Chiefs?
The line of scrimmage, obviously.
Hello.
Right? Like, both of these teams want to – one team wants to get better on that side of the ball, which they did in the offseason, but if you look at what – the Cleveland Browns did, bringing in Jadeveon Clowney. Obviously, you see it, Malik Jackson. They brought in a lot of, like, reinforcement up front. They want to get after the passer. And obviously, we know that beast of a human, Myles Garrett. But you look at this offensive line for the Kansas City Chiefs, and we all remember the Super Bowl. It was not that far ago where we saw Patrick Mahomes running for his life for majority of that game. So you go get Orlando Brown, sign him. You get Joe Thuney. You get Kyle back. Like, we are going to see if both of these teams not only are going to be what we think they're going to be, we also are going to find out if they can play different types of football. And El Boogie, you know I've said that a lot of times. Sometimes certain games require you to lean on something heavier than the next thing. The one thing that was most impressive about the Cleveland Browns last year, especially Baker Mayfield, is when the run game wasn't successful, he still operated at a high level. And that answered the question for me about the impact that Kevin Stefanski had on him. Obviously, we know Patrick Mahomes with protection, he will gut any defense. But this is not your ordinary defense. I'm so intrigued up front to see who wins that battle, because that's who wins the game. Unbeknownst to Tim Hasselbeck, because they all want to throw for 5,000 yards a year.
Poor Tim.
Belly bumping. I'll admit it was a little bit of a cheap shot to call it belly bumping, okay? I'll admit that, Marcus. I think you're right about that in this matchup. I will say this, though, and you touched on it. Baker Mayfield was trending in the wrong direction. They needed to clean up the operation offensively as a whole, really just organizationally, and that's why they brought Kevin Stefanski in. And in year one, with this, bizarre offseason that they had, you saw Baker trending in the right direction. I want to see that growth in year two. How much better can he be in that offense?
Yeah.
How much better does Kevin Stefanski know Baker Mayfield to get the best out of him? And oh, by the way, Odell Beckham, okay, what does he look like? Is he healthy? What is his role going to be in the offense?
Mm-hmm.
Will he be featured? Is he just a piece? I think there's so much that can happen there in terms of the growth on that side of the football for the Cleveland Browns. I think we know they're going to be good defensively. I think when you look at them offensively, how big is the step forward that they take in year two with Stefanski in charge?
Yeah, and that's the key question, Tim. I mean, they're coming into this season with a higher level of confidence than I think the Browns have had in a long time, right? There were years in recent years where, like, oh, it looks like this could be the year that they're good, but they hadn't actually done it. Now they have, coming off an 11-win season. And, Laura, you're absolutely right. The Browns felt like they could have and should have won that playoff game against the Kansas City Chiefs. So they'll get a chance to test that confidence in week one against the very best team in their conference. The Chiefs' offensive line rebuilt from the unit that we saw get taken apart by the Buccaneers' pass rush in the Super Bowl. The Browns are going to get after them. The question is, how quickly can that new Chiefs' offensive line come together? They're very talented players, but a lot of times an offensive line needs time to gel as a unit. That Chiefs offensive line could be better in November than it is in September.
No doubt. Both of you guys make great points. And I think it's also important for us to stress, man, how important it is for Cleveland to handle success. Like, they came in last year hunting everybody. Everybody was wanting to see, right? We heard the statements, same old Browns. And then they went out and balled out. But here is a different dynamic now. right? Nobody is going to come into your stadium not knowing if you're a good football team. You won't travel to any one stadium and they won't know that you're a good football team. The crowds will be more intense because it is no longer the same old Browns based on what we watched last year. So how well do they handle success? Not only Baker Mayfield, but this team, this culture, and the dynamic that they're starting to ascend to now.
I will say Baker Mayfield has been very quiet, which I think is a good sign for Browns fans. I think he's matured a lot over these past couple years. One more thing before we go, guys. The Broncos tweeted this out. Peyton Manning taking a look at the Broncos schedule.
Oh, okay. You just sent over the Broncos 2021 schedule? Okay. I'll pull it up right now. All right. I beat them. Beat them. Destroyed them. Beat them. Beat them. Yeah, this looks great. I'm going to go print it right now. Thanks.
Well, I'm wondering if Peyton knows that the Broncos are somehow getting Aaron Rodgers or something, Marcus.
I don't know.
I'm telling you, because if he ain't coming back, ain't a damn thing happening in regards to what he just said on the telephone.
There we go.
I'm glad they found something for Peyton to do in retirement. I think it was about time. I was worried about him.
I love it, guys. Enjoy the schedule release. It's-